What's the fifth, though? What is it you're supposed to remember?
It's from that movie.
It's from V is for Vendetta, right?
Yes, that's the one. But I don't know what it is you're supposed to remember.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
No, you should just see the movie.
I just say things I've heard.
I just drink and I know things.
With very, very little understanding of what's coming out of my mouth most of the time.
I drink and don't know things.
I drink and don't know things.
Well, you just described me. Thanks. I feel very seen.
A dangerous combo.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Amanda. Hi. Hello.
It's been so long.
It's been a minute.
It's been a long time. Okay.
Oh, beer.
Okay. Cheers. Okay, so we're in Massachusetts. We're
one of my favorites.
Been on a roll in the Northeast. All those M states.
I love Massachusetts. I love Boston. I would move to Boston.
Boston was nice.
Boston,
I've only visited once, but
it was nice. And a suburb outside of Boston had the best Thai food I have ever had in my whole life.
Really?
And it was in a convenience store.
Shout out to Rooster Thai and Convenience in Wakefield,
Whoop.
Massachusetts.
Because it was delicious.
Top five weirdest things y'all have ever said.
Uh-huh.
Right, but
it's
not
wrong.
It was a
weird experience, but it
Rooster.
Was delicious.
That's amazing.
Like, you know when you go into those, you know, like they have little restaurants in the in the gas stations?
Yeah, like the
like that's what this was.
That's crazy.
And we just sat there and ate delicious food.
I am glad.
I love Thai food.
I'm glad that I wasn't the one making the choice because we pulled up and I was like, I don't think this is right. And
right.
Terrence was like, no, I'm hungry, let's eat. And
that, you know, also sounds like Terrence.
I was like, no, that's gross.
He was like, it's probably going to be fire. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. So we go in and it was easily hands down the best Thai food
I've
ever had.
It's amazing.
It's not wrong.
We went back.
Also,
we went there twice.
Don't order the five.
Oh, yeah.
I never order the five ever because I love spicy food, but I feel like every restaurant has their own definition of what a five is.
Right.
So I feel like on your first visit, you don't order the five.
No.
I always go with a three. I'm like, because you need a baseline.
Three and
then
a half.
When you go back.
Because I like to be ornery.
Yeah.
I've done a one or two.
My friend Justin, that I do like the other podcast with, there's a Thai food restaurant in the town where he works. And like, we'll meet sometimes to do work stuff.
Nice.
And we always go to the same Thai place. And it's like three. Straight down the middle. Need the baseline. Drunken noodles, it's the best. So good.
So good. That's Tim's favorite.
It's my favorite.
I really want Thai food now. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I'm always here to help.
Okay.
So, Amanda.
So.
Massachusetts. And drunken noodles.
Are we talking about Thai food?
And drunken noodles. We're not talking about anything Thai related today, okay?
It's too bad.
But good news is after doing this research, I think I can confidently spell Massachusetts.
I can't. I'm pretty sure I saved the file name wrong on the computer.
Right. And I also don't test me.
Okay.
So this urban legend is kind of interesting because it's like Alaska. It's a triangle.
Oh.
The Bridgewater Triangle.
Oh, I think I crossed that name when...
Did you?
I was doing...
When you were researching Alaska?
Uh-huh.
Like with the skunk apes?
Listen... I don't want to get too far off track here because we always do that on your episodes. We're just tired and like it's silly. But when I listened back to the Florida episode and Tammy remembered where she heard it and laughed for a solid 2 minutes, I'm like, this was just audio greatness.
I was dreading the Florida episode coming out for the exact same reason.
Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny.
It was great. It was great.
Okay, so tell us about the Bridgewater Triangle.
All right. So the Bridgewater Triangle is an area of about 200 square miles within the towns of Abington, Rehoboth, and Freetown at its corners, and also encompasses the towns of Whitman, East and West Bridgewater, Middleborough, Dighton, Berkeley, Raynham, Norton, Easton, Lakeville, Seekonk, which is my favorite,
for sure,
and Taunton. So
I've only heard of Wakefield.
Pretty big...
Is Wakefield in there?
No. I was like, no, it's not. I purposefully looked because I never want to go back.
We're just talking about Wakefield.
That's why it's in my head. What did you just say that sounds like Wakefield?
Lakeville?
That's not the same.
That's not the same.
So, I've heard of none of them.
Okay, cool.
So, we've wasted 4.5 minutes.
So, it's south, like,
Massachusetts
southwest.
It's just not that
it's
big.
It's not that big, no. So, the triangle also encompasses specific similar specific smaller places within the towns. Hockomock Swamp is one of them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spent a lot of time there in my youth.
Freetown Fall River State Forest. Okay. Taunton State Hospital. Profile and Dighton Rocks. Asinet Ledge. Copycat Road.
I'm sorry. I feel like you just suddenly started speaking another language, and yeah. I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to understand that, and I don't know what she just said.
Go back to the ledge. What was it called?
Asinet.
Asinet. Okay.
So, all of these things I will tell you further about.
No, oh, I'm sure you will.
Copycat Road, Bridgewater University, and the Horbine School.
And where's Perdition Wood in all of this?
Just north.
Just northeast, yeah. It's always northeast.
I forgot about that. Okay. Anyways, I say, what are all these places you ask? Well, they're all a bit creepy, and we're going to go through them. So, from giant cats and dogs, floating orbs, UFO sightings,
so done.
Poltergeist, Thunderbird, and Bigfoot sightings.
I am here for this episode.
Brutal animal and human mutilation. Are you sure?
No, if you could maybe shave that last bit off. Like, I feel like this would have been best served had we prepped properly. We were having a sleepover. We were in pajamas. Like, that is what this story is for.
That would have been a good move. That's true.
We really need to organize this.
Why don't we do that? We should do that.
Well, we can, because y'all can stay here, so we can organize something.
I actually think it was your idea.
Probably
was your idea. You text that.
Listen, I do remember that.
Okay, good. We're going to pick a day, because y'all can stay right here.
Yeah,
true. So we'll make this happen. We'll do it in the evening.
I'm down.
We'll scare ourselves silly. I'll be glad that Kevin's home, and then we'll have coffee and bacon the next morning.
I am here for all of this.
I don't know what Tammy just said.
Oh, always here for coffee and bacon.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll make a date.
Okay.
In the fall, we can make pumpkin pancakes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, okay, you can have your bacon. Tammy's not interested in pumpkin pancakes.
I'm here for pumpkin everything.
Okay.
So much I need to hold the wall, apparently.
You need to hold it up.
Our listeners can't see it, but I reached up for strength, and I'm touching the wall.
You did. It's quite a sight.
I don't know why I'm doing it.
So I'm just going to take my hand out. Hockomock Swamp. Okay. It's probably the biggest part.
It sounds like it could be.
Right. Hockomock Swamp is a 5,000-acre wetland. This area is very rich in plant, animal, and geologic diversity. It acts as a natural flood control mechanism for the region, and it is the largest swamp in the state. Sounds like a normal swamp, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. Just kidding. I have it in my notes. I'm sorry. I just like to make her laugh. It's funny. Okay. So.
We're never getting through Massachusetts.
Okay, you gotta cut this part out, or y'all shouldn't give any more.
We just reverted back to being preteens, and I mean, it's like, wrong.
And you're giggling, probably. And now I'm giggling. I'm
oh, God, this is gonna be a long episode.
So I'm so sorry. It's all me. Okay. Because I've had half a bottle of wine. That's
right.
Why.
And when we have a sleepover, we don't have to worry about that.
Boom, boom, boom. Exactly.
And we're all going to bed now. Okay.
Future Aaron will be upset, though.
Yes, correct. Okay. Hockomock is a word that means where spirits dwell in the local native language. So you know this place is going to be a bit eerie.
Yeah.
So let's dive into some history, shall we?
We shall.
So this swampland was was the site of a very important historical event. The Wampanoag tribe, which is I had to look it up because
no,
I did not want to. Yeah,
no, I heard that. You said it right.
I didn't want to mess it up. I was like, that's disrespectful. The Wampanoag tribe used the wetland for its fertile hunting ground, and they also used it as a sacred burial ground. The name for the swamp was chosen because of the reverence and fear that the Wampanoag people had of the Hobomok, the chief of. Or I think it's just Hobomok, not the Hobomok. The chief of death and disease.
Oh, okay.
So, Hockomock was also said to be composed of the souls of the dead and frequently congregated in Hockomock Swamp.
Oh.
So, there's that. Okay. You should also know that due to the similarities of Hockomock and Hobomock, like the sound.
Yeah, that's confusing.
The English settlers just used them interchangeably.
Yeah.
So, if you see anything on the Hockomock Swamp, it could say Hobomock, blah, blah, blah.
Because.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because.
Because right. Why not?
No, but I read somewhere not all that long ago that, like, that's how language pieces change. Is like, mm-hmm. people start, a grouping of people start to mispronounce it, and then they change the spelling. And, like, mm-hmm. over hundreds and thousands of years,
I
like,
that's, see it.
Like, things are used interchangeably, and then the spelling just changes.
You mm-hmm. see that even with, like, people's surnames.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah.
exactly right.
Okay, so the English settlers in the area set their sights on the swamp and made plans to turn it into farmland. The Wampanoag people obviously wanted to defend their land, and thus brings us to King Philip's War. So, the King Philip's War was a battle between the Wampanoag people and the English settlers from 1675 to 1678. It was named for the chief at the time, Metacomet, who only adopted the name Philip due to his father's friendliness with the pilgrims.
I've heard that before.
Have okay. you? Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's named for him. King Philip was the Native American chief, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. yeah. Unfortunately, the war did not end in the natives' favor. King Philip was betrayed by one of his own men, and the English beheaded him in 1678. It should also be noted that a sacred belt was also lost in this war. It's called the Wampum Belt.
Belt like you wear around your waist. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Didn't say what happened to it. It just, like, went missing.
Okay.
So by the end of the war, 3,000 natives were killed or sold into slavery and sent to the West Indies. The colonists ended up coining the swamp Devil Swamp because of all of the paranormal activity that occurred and is still occurring to this day.
Well, maybe if they wouldn't go disrespecting things.
Right. But it said that the Native Americans cursed the land during or after the war ended, and that the missing belt has caused the paranormal unrest.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah.
interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, also, it just said that, like, the whole swamp is kind of dotted with stone monuments. Like, I'm good. Like, for the people who lost their lives, the natives who lost.
Oh.
Yeah. So, little sidebar. While we're on King Philip's War, let's talk about Annawan Rock. Annawan Rock is not in the Hockomock Swamp, but it is a historically spooky site. Well, it's in the not in the swamp, but it is in the triangle, so I thought I'd add it in real quick. Wampanoag Chief Annawan surrendered and was captured at this site in 1676 during King Philip's War. What makes this site interesting? People have reported seeing ghosts dancing on the rock in the area, so I was like, I wouldn't actually mind seeing that.
If I'm ever a ghost, I want to be a dancing ghost. I don't want to be, like, a spooky, like, sad, scary. I just want to be, like, a...
You want to be a chain
like
rattler?
Like, a pleasant apparition. That's what I want to be.
A pleasant apparition. Okay. Yeah.
They prefer apparition.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They do.
Okay. So we went from having Harry Potter references in all of our episodes to King Falls references in all of our episodes. Okay. So no surprise at all, the cell service would be spotty and the GPS services would have glitches when navigating through the area. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about Thunderbirds. Have y'all heard of them?
Yes. The car?
No.
Oh, no.
You've heard of Thunderbirds, like the birds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have you? I had never heard of
them. I didn't know that was a real thing.
Well, so there have been multiple Thunderbird sightings in and around Hockomock Swamp. Thunderbirds are massive birds that allegedly look like pterodactyls with a wingspan of between 8 and 12 feet. They are prominent in Native American mythology.
Okay.
So, yeah, there have been a few sightings. A police sergeant, actually, was one of them that was just driving one day and was like, what is that? That is a large bird. I'm sorry.
Knowing me, I would probably just pull over and stare, and then after a while go, it's all fine here.
It's fine. It's fine. We're fine.
Everything's fine. It's like the cartoon of the dog in hell drinking the coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
Yes. It's me every day. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine.
That's great.
So did you know, you knew about, like, the mythology?
A little bit. I mean, I wouldn't, you can tell the story, but yes.
No, I mean, that's honest, that's it. For the Thunderbirds, anyways. So there have also been Bigfoot sightings in the swamp area as well. In the 1970s, several sheep and pigs that belonged to local farmers were found brutally killed. Police searched the area for 2 days. They were looking for a bear, and mind you, bears don't live in that. Like,
in
they
the swamp.
Knew that bears did not live in that area.
Was it a goat man?
But they found nothing.
No. Could have been a goat man.
But some say they've spotted Bigfoot-like creatures around the swampland, reaching up to 7 feet tall, leading others to believe that those creatures were responsible for the murders of the poor baby animals.
The skunk apes headed north from Florida.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Here we go.
Hold on to your butts.
They caught a ride with the anacondas from South America.
Pour one out for the skunk apes.
And the manatee.
And the manatee.
And the manatee.
The manatee anacondas.
So that is...
We're never going to be the same when we get through all this.
Manacondas.
Manacondas.
No, not again.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Just stop yourself. Okay. So that's the Hockomock Swamp. Just lots of, like, little eerie sightings and just overall paranormal. Creepier, the Fall River Freetown State Forest is also located in the Bridgewater Triangle and is said to be one of the most haunted forests in the world.
Okay.
Yeah. It's also the largest forest in the state, by the way. So paranormal experts say that there's a very strong negative energy surrounding the forest, and that's why so many strange things happen there. In 1978, a 15-year-old cheerleader was found tied to a tree and murdered.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, guys. I told you it was kind of dark.
Yeah. What year did you say?
1978.
Okay. So more recently.
Mm-hmm. A man named James M. Crater was originally accused and tried for the girl's murder, but wasn't convicted until 2000 after his verdict was overturned 3 times and had a mistrial on top of that.
Gosh.
Yeah. In 1980, while police were investigating yet another murder, they encountered a couple of citizens that reported seeing satanic cult activity in the area.
Oh, here we go. Always.
Right. This actually was the cause of one of the cases being overturned, so the jury was like, wait,
oh,
hold on.
Like it's not this guy.
It's not this guy. It could be the cult. Anyways.
That doesn't sound very science-based, but whatever.
Hold on. It could be different.
Excuse me, I believe it was a Sasquatch.
Skunk ape.
Damn those skunk apes. 3 other murders are also said to have occurred in this forest. One in 1987 was a man that was suspected of being an undercover cop. He wasn't, so that was horribly unfortunate in his case.
Sad.
2 men were found shot to death in the forest, like on a road in 2001. So the forest has also been associated with ritualistic murders and suicides. In 1998, police officers were called to... ritualistic animal slaughters, murders, all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
But in 1998, police officers were called to investigate 2 animal mutilations. One were 2 calves, and then another sighting was an adult cow. Yeah, it's kind of gross.
That is gross. I don't like mutilations at all.
Right, correct. I'd be concerned if you did.
Well said.
Your support means everything.
Anyways, the police suspected that these killings were done by the cult. But I need to bring something up that... So I didn't read any of the satanic cult activity actually in the Freetown... Or the Fall River Freetown State Forest, but just southwest of it.
Not northeast.
Not northeast. Southwest.
The other direction. The opposite direction.
The other way.
Dang.
This actually is where the satanic cult activity was reported. I'm not going to go into all of the details because I was very cringy.
I appreciate that.
But you mean not like me, how I like to just...
Tammy's like, let me tell you about California.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
We're not going back to California.
It's not high on my list right now.
So essentially in 1981, there was a pimp from Freetown named Carl Drew.
You said pimp?
Pimp. I did say pimp.
Oh, she said pimp.
Okay. I said pimp.
So, Amanda, there was a pimp.
There is a pimp.
It's called pimp.
He was soft.
Sorry.
Crunk Pimp was 26 years old. And at the time, he claimed to be the son of Satan. No.
It's kind of American Horror Story sounded.
Yes, it kind. Yes, absolutely. Multiple prostitutes were found murdered at his hand.
Mm-hmm. We call them sex workers.
And we... Wait, really?
Yeah, I think that's actually the correct term now. I was trying to be funny, but that is actually the correct term now.
I don't actually know.
I'm uncomfortable with the fact that they were found dead. I can, regardless of what you decided.
Let's give them a tiny shred of decency. They were sex workers.
Sex workers. Yeah. in weird and terrifying ritualistic type manners.
Oh, I don't like that.
So after this research, I'm gonna assume this was the satanic cult activity reported in the area by those other two citizens. But yeah, creepy.
Are we talking like Jack the Ripper type? Like,
I didn't. So to be fair, I have to preserve my little brain sometimes.
I think there are things you don't need to see.
And I didn't.
But it was
further.
Like a targeted. Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not delve further in depth.
Like, remind me offline to tell y'all about the Jack the Ripper walking tour I took in London.
I did that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about it offline because we go on tangents badly enough.
That's
anyway.
Okay, so moving on. Profile Rock is located in the Fall River Freetown State Forest, along with a... Tammy just kicked me.
She sure did.
I can't stretch my legs that way. I'm doing awkward things.
Tammy has her legs propped up by Amanda's ear, and it just slipped, and like straight up, like, she straight up just kicked her sister.
So sorry.
It's for arguing with her in the last episode.
That's right.
Did you? I don't remember that.
Me either. I've had half a bottle of wine. I don't even know what day it is.
I'm just disturbed by your stories, and I'm not used to being disturbed by your episodes.
I know.
She's telling a creepy story, and she's doing it in the perkiest voice ever, and I don't know how to feel about any of
this.
That's
true. Normally, like, I tell a story that's really creepy and terrible, and then we get to hear something happy. And
I'm sorry.
That is true, though.
It's the opposite,
like,
and I'm very thrown off by it.
Like, there is, like, a definite theme. Like, I always have a ghost story.
Uh-huh.
Even, like, not when I'm trying, I have a ghost story. You usually have something that involves devils, demons, or even evil spirits.
Yes.
And Amanda's like, and then there was a skunk ape.
I try to find the happiest one so I don't have to, like, sink myself into research.
Amanda has to live with herself afterwards.
Yeah.
I've been making us new t-shirts that say ghost stories, evil spirits, and skunk apes.
Look, I would wear that.
Okay, Profile Rock.
Right.
So it's in the forest along with, No, I'm sorry. Profile Rock is a large granite rock that looks like the profile of a person, like a human face.
Oh.
Yeah. Many locals believe that this person was Massasoit, who was King Philip's father that had a good relationship with the English.
What was King Philip's proper name?
Metacomet.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So somehow it has been related to satanic activity, though I couldn't find the direct link. Apparently there have been bodies and gross things found around that area. Yeah, this is like I'm down to go to Massachusetts again, but I'm down to stay northeast.
Let's stay in Boston. Yeah. There's a lot to do in Boston.
I really just feel like there's a lot of history in that area. So probably where you research, you're going to
totally
find something
sense.
Absolutely.
That you're not fond of.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, creeper alert, Asinet Ledge, there you go, the one you asked about earlier, is also located in the forest. This ledge was formed from quarrying a unique type of granite in the 1800s. There have been reports of people seeing ghosts at the top of the cliff before they leap off and disappear.
Ew.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Is that the suicides you mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
The swamps associated with suicides?
Yes, yes.
When you said creeper, I thought you meant there was going to be, like, someone creeping around
no.
the area.
No.
That was a different creeper.
That was
different kind of creeper.
Mm-hmm. I miswarned you.
I wasn't prepared.
Miswarned you. That is officially not a word.
Well,
sure it is. Okay. So, John Brightman from the New England Paranormal Research Group once said that a spirit spoke to him while he was standing atop of the ledge.
Same.
The spirit told him to either jump or leave immediately.
Oh, not
so,
the same.
I'm going to go ahead and guess... He left. What? Wait.
Matt's like, I'm just trying to tell the story.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
Do you remember we tried once to let Amanda record first because we thought it would be more focused? And it's not. Work. It's it. The order has nothing to do with it. We just don't.
No.
We just won't let Amanda be successful.
You won't keep me down. Okay.
Yeah, Amanda's successful despite us.
That's right.
I tried.
She's truly resilient.
Okay. Wait. Which spirits have been talking to you? I'm concerned.
Right. That was the whole thing. She just felt the need to say same and then was like, wait, just kidding.
No, just kidding. I don't want that.
I could go so far off on a tangent, we would never get back. So we're just going to stay with Amanda's story.
So back to the rocks. Dighton Rock.
Okay,
this one isn't as like urban legend-y as it's just historically interesting. And you know me in history. So
love,
here we go.
Love
it. Plug in history.
Dighton Rock is also... What?
I don't know.
I didn't hear what you said, and then you made that face.
Just ignore me. Go on.
Okay, so also
carry on.
Within the borders of the Bridgewater Triangle, This people of unknown origin have carved many figures into this rock dating back to ancient times.
Oh, okay.
There are figures of people, animals, and symbols etched into the rock, and it's roughly the whole boulder is roughly the size of like a Volkswagen Beetle.
Okay.
So kind of big. There's a lot of debate about who actually carved the figures into the rock.
Sounds like the basis for a CW show, I'm just gonna say.
Do you know that just
scene?
Have you ever heard of Phoenicia?
No. Sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you what it means.
I learned something during this
congratulations.
Episode.
Congratulations. Yay. It's been such a novel experience for you.
Shut up.
You look so shocked.
Shut up, I hate you. Just kidding, I don't. So, there is a lot of debate about who actually carved the stones. There are theories that ancient Phoenicians were responsible for the carvings. In my notes, I put, what the hell is a Phoenicia?
Please tell us.
Okay, so it's an ancient, it was an ancient civilization at the easternmost borders of the Mediterranean Sea.
Not someone who works phonetically with the alphabet.
So honestly, I thought, like, is that a thing? Like, was that a thing back then?
It's a job. Is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a Phoenician.
It was a whole civilization. That is not what was happening.
Hi, nice to meet you. What do you do? Well, I'm a Phoenician. How about you?
Okay, you laugh, but I really thought.
I also like long walks on the beach.
We call those reading specialists.
That's honest to goodness. I had to look up Phoenician and expecting to find that. Yeah. And then I was like, ancient civilization.
I wish y'all could see the waveforms right now. It's like,
it's because it's my episode. And
no,
I'm loud.
It's me. I'm like cackling into the microphone.
Okay, so one of the theories is that they were ancient Phoenicians that carved their language into the rocks. That is a long way from home. So there's a whole theory about it not being Columbus or Norse Vikings that came to the New World first, that this civilization actually made it before anybody else.
That's super interesting.
I know. I mean, I don't know what's true.
We know it wasn't Columbus, so.
Well, right, we did know that.
We don't have time for that conversation in this episode.
It's a whole other conversation.
Could
be a whole separate podcast.
Sure could.
Okay. Another theory is that the carvings from an ancient Portuguese expedition were responsible for the carvings. I can't talk.
Wait, say that again?
Another theory is that an ancient Portuguese expedition was responsible for the carvings.
Okay. Gotcha.
And apparently that expedition ended violently in a confrontation with Native Americans.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if it was the carvings that indicated that. I wasn't sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Other theories came from Norse Vikings, Native Americans, and even ancient Chinese sailors. It was relocated in 1963 to a safer place for preservation. A museum was then built around it, and it's run by by well-informed locals that know, you know, that have studied.
So interesting, none of these theories, like, have an exact match, like, to language-wise or, like, symbolism or...
Well, okay, so actually, interestingly enough, I don't have a direct answer for you, but Ramona Peters, who is the director of the Historic Preservation for the Massachusetts Wampanoag Tribe, said that the carvings are not similar to Wampanoag petroglyphs.
Oh, okay.
So that would be the most obvious answer, right? Like, okay, so these stamped ancient carvings are from the natives that lived here. No, they're nothing similar to the petroglyphs that they have from other...
So it's like Stonehenge.
Kind of, yeah.
No, no one
exactly.
Really knows.
No one really knows.
Huh.
So, yeah. Anyways, I just was excited I learned about a new civilization.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was like, all right, cool. Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
The ancient reading specialist.
The ancient reading specialist. So, okay, moving on to other weird things going on within the borders of Bridgewater Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Sidebar, apparently FX is creating a Bridgewater Triangle series.
Oh, really? Maybe that's where I've heard that recently.
Yeah.
I was like, when I read that on your paper, I was like, wait, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's not out yet because I tried to look for it, but it's being created.
That's cool.
So we should make a thing of that
once
it comes out.
We should.
You can watch it at our sleepover.
That's right.
Okay.
We'll look into it if we ever finish this episode. I'm not feeling optimistic. We're at 30 minutes.
20 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The man that coined the name Bridgewater Triangle is named Lauren Coleman. He's a paranormal author. The book that was first that the Bridgewater Triangle was first discussed in was called Mysterious America, which now I kind of want to buy. that's when, like, he coined the borders because of all the weird stuff happening.
Okay, and so all of this stuff is just things that have happened.
That have happened in history.
Inside of this triangle.
It wasn't until, I think it was like the 1970s, that he coined the term Bridgewater Triangle.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to get to that, because I was like, we started talking about a triangle, and now we've heard about a bunch of... But I remember that with Alaska.
We've just been talking about the swamp
the
whole time.
Yeah,
yeah.
The whole swamp.
The whole swamp. The whole forest.
Swampy swamp.
Swampy swampy swamp. Okay. What?
No.
Okay. He later went on to write a book called The Ghosts of Bridgewater Triangle, which I'm also kind of tempted to buy.
Yeah. We should probably read that.
Okay.
Study.
So there are a couple of things worth mentioning from his book specifically. There apparently was report of a killer dog in 1976. The dog was reported to be massive and black. Uh-oh. It was reported by a firefighter in Abington, Massachusetts. He reported that the dog ripped out the throats of his two ponies. And allegedly, it terrorized the community for several weeks. I didn't.
It was the groom.
It was.
I just almost said that, and I'm like, I don't want to interrupt Amanda.
You've shown such restraint.
Okay, so another thing, which is even weirder, is from 1993. There was a report of a huge tan-colored cat the size of a Great Dane. Right, correct.
Big
that
cat.
The face that Aaron is making is the face that I made.
It's not okay.
Right.
No.
Maybe it's a lion. Who knows?
I know, that's big.
Great Danes are huge.
Yeah, they are huge.
They really are.
Anyways, it was dubbed the Mansfield Mystery Cat, though I couldn't really find any more information on that.
Sounds like part of the Scooby Gang.
Yeah. So, I mentioned the Taunton State Hospital earlier. It's obviously, it's located in Taunton, Massachusetts. Part of this hospital was reportedly used by satanic cults in the 1960s and 70s.
These cults are all over the place.
I know. This area is nuts.
Thanks.
I'm good. I literally wrote, here we go again with the satanic cult thing. people reported having their shoulders and or legs touched and pulled when entering certain areas of the hospital.
No, I'm fine.
So, Bridgewater University is supposed to be a haunted as well. Shea and Durgin Hall, which is a dorm there, room 228 is said to be haunted, as well as the auditorium. Back to our theater episode.
Yep.
There's a mischievous ghost named George that apparently plays with the stage lights and sound machines.
Say, I'd hang out with George.
I'd hang out with George. Absolutely.
Go off, George.
All I could think of was Peeves, but hopefully, like, he's friendlier and not as annoying, because Peeves was terrible.
He was kind of a jerk.
Peeves is the homie.
Was he?
No, he wasn't. Let's keep going.
She said yes. Yes, he was.
She solemnly nods yes. Yes, he was.
Friends than I do.
The Horbine School is a one-room white schoolhouse.
I'm sorry. Excuse me?
Yeah, I know.
Horbine.
The Horcrux School?
No. That'd be even better.
How do you spell Horbine?
W-H-O-R-B-I-N-E. No. It's H-O-R-B-I-N-E.
Oh. No. All right, fine.
There's probably not another way to pronounce,
Horbine?
No.
That's worse.
Horbine.
The Horbine School was one-room white schoolhouse built in the 1840s in Rehoboth, Massachusetts. It was actively used until 1937. It's allegedly haunted by former students. Some say the spirits were disturbed when the school was renovated back in 1968 to celebrate the town's anniversary. There are reports that voices have been heard within the school walls.
It's not creepy at all.
Less commonly talked about is the haunted Copacut Road. There's a truck driver that follows people quite closely and honks loudly while flailing his arms.
Oh, no, no.
And then he just suddenly disappears.
No.
There are too many movies about urban legends of creepy truck drivers.
That one bothered me. I was
like
no.
Well, you know my feelings on, like, urban legends and moving vehicles anyway. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not a big fan.
We're not visiting this triangle.
No. Nothing about this makes me want to go visit it. Except maybe Dighton Rock.
I'm not visiting any triangles.
That's a pretty fair statement.
I'm fine with that. Okay, so we're almost done. The Redheaded Hitchhiker is another frequently told story in the Bridgewater Triangle.
It's probably a cousin of mine.
People report...
A lot of redheaded cousins.
Kevin's side.
People report seeing a man with long red hair and a full beard walking along the road hitchhiking. It's reported that when people stop to give him a ride, he disappears, much like Massachusetts' own Lady of the Lake. Others report that he disappears after getting into their vehicles. And I was like, no.
I want to know who in 2020 is still stopping to give strangers rides.
I'm saying.
Not your girl.
Not your girl.
Not this one either.
There's zero circumstances where I stop and give someone a ride.
No.
Some, I mean, even if I knew you, I probably wouldn't stop.
Good to know. Good to know.
Just kidding, maybe.
Okay, you guys have been total troopers from dealing with our shenanigans. This episode is almost over, but it's been a fun one.
It's a good one.
Before we leave, we're going to talk about UFOs and flying orbs.
I mean, why would we not? There's right? Nothing else here in Massachusetts.
Everything is in Massachusetts. So, there are reports dating back to 1760 that were written telling of a sphere of fire brighter than the sun that was seen in the Bridgewater and Roxbury areas. So, of note, just northwest of the triangle was where the first UFO sighting in America was.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. That was in... It was said that it was an orb that shot through the sky like an arrow, and that was in 1639, the first reporting of a UFO.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
1639?
1639. Dang. There was a diary entry.
What else could explain that in 1639?
I'm saying. Nothing. That's what I said.
Nothing. There are no planes. There are not, you know, air and light pollution. Like, there's nothing.
Right. Wow, interesting.
Fascinating.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, so in 1908, a local paper reported a UFO sighting. In 1968, several witnesses reported seeing a large floating orb in the trees of Rehoboth. In 1976, two UFOs were spotted in Taunton. And in 1994, a police officer reported seeing a UFO in Rainham. So there have been quite a few UFO sightings around. In 1997, a large triangular UFO was spotted by a law enforcement officer saying it had three white and two red star-like lights on it. And then lastly, apparently every January, unexplainable elusive balls of light have been seen over railroad tracks that run beside Raynham Dog Track and through Hockomock Swamp.
Mm-mm. Wow.
I know. So... Massachusetts has all the creepy paranormal stuff going
on.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot going on there.
So, you know, when you're starting your research, you're like, okay, what urban legend, you know, which one is the most common? And, like, it was all, like, different ones from the Bridgewater Triangle. So I was like, all right, well, we're just going to go with that.
That was me in Alaska. Yeah. It was, like, a hodgepodge of...
It was really fun to do, though. I was proud of it.
You did well.
Yeah, I liked it.
Thanks for listening to... Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at Salt the Pod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com.